नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अतः भगवता यूयम् प्रियस्ता भगवन्यता नमद्भगवतानं च प्रियंगान्योऽस्ति कर्हि चेद् अतः भगवता यूयम् प्रियस्ता भगवन्यता नमद्भगवतानं च प्रियन्नन्योऽस्ति कर्हि चेत् अतः भगवता यूयम् प्रियस्ता भगवन्यता नमद्भगवतानं च प्रियंगान्योऽस्ति कर्हि चेत् Ladies, नमद्भगवतानं च प्रियान्योऽस्ति कर्हि चेत् अतः देयरफॉर भगवता डिवोटीस यूयम् ऑल ऑफ यू प्रिया वेरी डियर टू मी स्ता यू आर Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yata, as, na, neither, mat, than me, Bhagavatanam, of the devotees, cha, also, preyam, very dear, anya, others, Asti, there is, karhichit, at any time. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of God Himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Purport. It is said, Vaishnava Namyata Shambhu, Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavan, there is Lord Shiva's temple called Gopishvara. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but also Katyayani or Durga as well. but their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna, and he does not request material profit. In Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. Kamaish taistarhita jnana. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods, but a devotee never does so, for he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asura worships Lord Shiva, takes some benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him liberation. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Lord, he loved them very much. Lord Shiva was not kind and merciful only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. It is stated in the list of Nama Paradha that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the chanting of Hara or Shiva are the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. A devotee shall be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Rama, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? This is the conclusion. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. Actually, he loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande shri gurum dinataranam. Ata bhagavata yoyam priyasta bhagavan yata namat bhagavata namcha priyananyosti karichit. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. So, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambho. That's the declaration that Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Why is that? Because he's always absorbed in love, meditating on Lord Krishna. All the time, 24 hours a day. Although he has as his wife, Durga, material nature personified, he can get all the wealth he wants from her, but he is not interested in that. He may sit down under the banyan tree meditating on the Supreme Lord's pastimes. Very detached. Actually, sometimes Lord Shiva is misunderstood by some people because he doesn't follow the rules and regulation of Vaishnava dress and other things. But because he's a Mahabhagavat, a topmost devotee, he's above all rules and regulation, actually. For example, from the pastime of... there are many pastimes, Lord Krishna, with Lord Shiva. We can mention some of them. One of them is that Lord Shiva once wanted to have darshan of Bala Krishna, or baby Krishna, in Vrindavan. So he went there disguised as a sadhu, or saintly person. And when he knocked on the door of Mother Yashoda's home, and she opened the door, she was frightened, because he had snakes around his arms, his neck, and, you know, covered with ashes from the crematorium and all these things, you know. Although he was acting like a devotee of Lord Shiva. He didn't reveal directly that he is Lord Shiva. So she asked him what he wants. He said, "I want to see your son, Krishna." She said, "No way. The snakes you have around, you are very dangerous to my son, so I'm sorry, I can't allow you to see him. For his protection, you know, I'm very afraid of those snakes you have around you, these cobras." So Shiva was very sad, he couldn't see his Lord, so he went away and sat down under a tree meditating on Krishna, fasting. He didn't want to eat or eat, drink or anything. So sometimes devotee asks the question, why Lord Shiva behave in that way? Why he have those snakes around him? Why he have this ashes from crematorium on his body? Well, the answer is, Lord Shiva, he only smears ashes from pure devotees on his body. No one else. Also, the skulls around his, you know, the garland made of skulls around his neck is also from the bones of Vaishnavas. And even those snakes around his arms, neck, they are also great sages who wants to keep his company. So they are not ordinary snakes. But anyway, since Lord Shiva was fasting, feeling separation from his Lord, Krishna also didn't want to eat and was crying. So Mother Yashoda was very worried that Krishna wasn't eating. So she was consulting with other gopis in the neighborhood, and they asked her, "Did any sadhu came to your home and you didn't please him?" She said, "Well, to speak the truth, yes. But for this reason, I didn't do it." "Oh, then you have to bring him back and pleases him, then Krishna will be all right. He will eat all his prasad." So they brought the sadhu back. They found him and brought him back. And Madhurya should allow him in the room, the house. And that just like 10 feet from Krishna, she said, "Okay, stop here. No closer than this, you know, because of the snakes and all these things." So he have darshan of Krishna. He looked lovingly at Krishna, smiling. Krishna looked at him, smiling too. The Lord and his servant finally met. And they were both happy. But after a few minutes, Yashoda said, "Okay, darshan is finished. Now you have to go." So Shiva left, but he wasn't fully satisfied, you know. He wanted more. So Krishna was crying and Shiva was very sad too. So, okay, they have to call the sadhu again. And this happened a few times. And then finally Lord Shiva told Yashoda, "Look, if you want your son be happy and eat very nicely and be very healthy, you have to do something to please me, then I will bless him, bless you." She said, "Yes, ask me whatever you want." He said, "Well, I will come. I will be here in Braja for some time, for a few months. And I want to come to your home every morning. And you should wash the lotus feet of your son and give me that water to me to drink and put on my head. That will satisfy me very much. If you do that, I assure you, your son will always be healthy and happy." So Shiva was going every day collecting this Charanamrita. And that's why when you go to Nandagram, in Vrindavan, to visit Krishna's temple there, you will see that there is a small Shiva temple at the bottom of the temple. Before going to the stairs, to your left, when you enter, there is a small Shiva temple there. And you know what they do? What they do? How they worship Lord Shiva there? They do the same thing. After bathing the deity of Lord Krishna, they take that water and bathe Shiva with that. Same water. And because in relation of that pastime, that Krishna wanted this. So we see that not only that, I mean, even in Vrindavan itself, there is a deity of Lord Shiva known as Gopishwar, Prabhupada's mentioning here in the temple. And every evening, they dress Shiva as a gopi. They put a veil on his face, some, you know, nose ring and other things, you know. And why they do that? The reason is that once Lord Shiva went to Vrindavan and he wanted to have darshan of the Raslila, Krishna's dancing with the gopis. So he approached Yogamaya and asked her, what is the name of Yogamaya in Vrindavan? Who remembers? Purnamasi. So he approached her and asked her, I have this desire, can you please help me? I am very eager to see Krishna's dancing with the gopis. She told him, no male can enter there to see that dancing. Only if you get a female body, then you can do. Otherwise, not possible. He said, well, whatever it is needed, I'm ready to do it. But please tell me how I can do that. And she told him, okay, take your bath here in this lake. And when you come out, you will have a gopi body. So he did that. And he had a female form and dressed as a gopi. And he was hiding in the bushes, seeing the dancing of Krishna with Radharani and the gopis. And he was very happy. But some gopis discovered him hiding. So immediately they started to question him. Who are you? Who are your mother-in-law, father-in-law? Who is your husband? Where do you live? All kinds of questions. And because Shiva couldn't answer any of those questions, he was silent. And because he was silent, they were slapping him. The gopis were slapping him. Maybe you're a spy sent by Kamsa. Who are you? Speak. Then Purnamasi came and told him, no, she's under my protection, please, you know. Leave her alone. And she, you know, revealed who. And then Krishna came and blessed Lord Shiva that you will be the protector of the Rasa Lila dance. You will be at the door and you will not allow anybody who is unqualified to enter. So just see how Shiva's dear to Krishna. He gave him such a high service to protect Vrindavan. Different places in Vrindavan are different deities of Lord Shiva. Protecting the holy dam, you know. So, and of course, generally speaking, Gopishwar means the controller of the gopis. Because Prabhupada explains here that the gopis also worshipped Lord Shiva and Durga also, but they were worshipping them to ask them, let Krishna become our husband. That they were praying to them so that Krishna will be pleased with them. But also because another meaning of Gopishwar, because they slapped him and questioned him, so he was a little controlled by the gopis. So that another meaning of Gopishwar, that he is controlled by the gopis. So, I mean, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he condemned demigods' worship for material profit. No? But demigod worship to please Krishna, to get Krishna's favor, is not condemned, because the gopis themselves did that. They worship Durga and even Lord Shiva. But they did it just to have their blessings to get Krishna's favor. And that is authorized. I mean, we have to be careful sometimes, because although it is said that we should not think that Lord Shiva and Krishna are at the same level, or Lord Vishnu, but we should never disrespect Lord Shiva. That will be a great offense to a great Vaishnava, you know. Sometimes when we argue with pseudo-devotees of Lord Shiva, who argue that Shiva is the supreme and not Vishnu or Krishna, we should be careful not to minimize Lord Shiva's position by trying, you know, to win the argument that Vishnu or Krishna is the supreme, not Shiva. We have to be careful with that. Because the point is that we can worship. Prabhupada said that we also should worship Lord Shiva, because he's a great devotee of Krishna. That's the only reason. Not for material profit, but for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Because when Krishna's devotee is pleased, Krishna is even more pleased. So in that sense, it's all right. Once a devotee in Panama, he asked me that somebody gave him a Shiva deity, and he was worshipping it. So he was asking me if that was all right. And I told him, well, generally speaking, Vaishnava don't do that. But since it was given to you, what you can do is that the same paraphernalia you use for Krishna's worship, or your Gornitai deity's worship, that same paraphernalia use it for Lord Shiva. For example, after offering the incense to Gornitai, or Radha Krishna, then the same incense you can offer as a remnant to Lord Shiva, and that's all right. You can do it like that. The same water, also you bet your deities, Krishna, then you do it also for Shiva, then it's all right. No harm. Yes, because to think, I mean, this argument sometimes go on between Vaishnavas and Shaivites, that who is the supreme, no, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, like that. But actually, this is a waste of time, because Shiva doesn't have a separate existence from Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So to say that he is not who he is just, you know, not necessary to argue like that. We just have to say the reality. I mean, Lord Shiva is not even a jiva or living entity. He's a Shiva tattva. He's in between Vishnu and jiva. It is said in Shastra that when a jiva gets perfection, spiritual perfection, becomes a pure devotee, then one can achieve up to 78% of Krishna's qualities. Not all of them. Krishna has 64 qualities in full. That's described in Nectar of Devotion. But 50 of those qualities, up to 78%. Now, Lord Shiva has 55 of those qualities, up to 84%. And Lord Narayan, I mean, he has only 60 of those qualities, up to 96%. That's the Shastra explained like that. And what are those four qualities that not even Narayan has, that Krishna has? They are described by the Acharyas that Rupa Madhurya, Krishna's beautiful form. Venu Madhurya, the beautiful sound, the sweet sound of his flute. Lila Madhurya, his wonderful pastimes, especially his childhood pastime. And Prema Madhurya, he's surrounded by devotees who have a great love for him, like the gopis. That even Narayan doesn't have. Only Krishna has those four qualities in full. And It is explained in the one of Lord Chaitanya's associate, Kavi Karnapur, Vrindavan Champu, that Krishna's childhood pastime, he described a very beautiful pastime there, that once Mother Yashoda was very busy, and she asked the gopis, her gopis friend, to give some dinner to Krishna. So they offered Krishna varieties of sweet. But Krishna said, no, I don't want any of this. Then what do you want, Krishna? That was a full moon night, and the moon was golden in color. Sometimes you see the moon gold sometimes when it is a full moon. So Krishna pointed to the moon, and he said, I want this condensed butter there. And the gopis said, they start to laugh. Krishna, this is not condensed butter. This is Rajahamsa, royal swan, swimming in the sky. Okay, bring him to me so I can play with him, Krishna said. Then Mother Yashoda came, and Krishna complained to her that I asked the gopis, I want to eat this condensed butter, but they say, no, it is a swan. And Yashoda sided with Krishna. No, Krishna is right. Actually, the moon, it is condensed butter because it is explained that when the devatas and asuras, they churn the milk ocean, the moon was born from there. So when you churn milk, butter comes. So to say that the moon is condensed butter is all right. It's correct. When Krishna heard that, he asked his mother, an ocean of milk? How many cows were needed to create such an ocean? Krishna asked. Mother Yashoda laughed. Krishna, you are so naive. You're a small boy. There was no need of any cows to create such an ocean. Krishna said, I don't believe that. If there are no cows, there are no milk. Once some years ago, in Brazil, the TV went to schools and they were asking the children from where the milk comes. And all the children, all of them, they were saying from the pot, from the box, from the bottle. No one say from the cows. We're city boys, they never saw a cow in their life, maybe in the TV. But Krishna knew, he's a coward boy, there's no cow, no milk, So, but Mother Yashoda told him, my dear Krishna, the creator of all the cows can create a milk ocean without using the cows, without the need of the cows. So, that's very interesting. Okay, then let me have it. Mother Yashoda said, no, it's not possible. Why? You see those black spots on the moon? These are poison. You can't eat that condensed butter. Krishna said, I don't believe that. Poison? I know the serpents, cobras has poison. Some spiders have, and different, scorpions and different other living entity has poison, but the condensed butter? I don't believe that. Maya Shadi said, let me explain to you. You are a very simple, naive boy. Let me explain to you. When the demigods and the asuras, they were churning the milk ocean, the first thing that came out was a huge wave of poison. And to save the whole world, Lord Shiva catched that poison in his hand and kept it in his throat. To save the world. Another name of Lord Shiva is Nilakanta. Nila means blue, and Kanta means throat. So, because he kept that poison on his throat, the color of his throat became blue. Generally speaking, although we see some time painting of Lord Shiva like gray or blue, but actually in the Bhagavatam, it is explained his color is golden. He looks like that because he smears ashes on his body. That's why his body looks like that. That's why he's painted like that. But his actual color is golden. So anyway, And Mother Yashoda continued explaining to Krishna, and some drops of this poison fell, you know, on the seashore, and some animals like snakes and scorpions and like that, they came and drank those few drops, and that's why they became poisonous. Krishna said, oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. All right, say Krishna, then give me whatever sweet you have there. I will have my dinner. So, I mean, Krishna is more pleased when we try to please his devotee. So, I mean, even in the Adi Purana, Krishna told Arjuna, those who say that they are my servant, they are not my servant. But those who say that they are the servant of my servant, they are my real servants. So, in our Vaishnava line, that's also the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Gopi Bhartur Padala Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudas. One should consider oneself to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the Lord of the Gopis. Once a devotee of Shiva approached the house of Lord Chaitanya when he was living in Navadvip, no, as Nimai Pandit. And this devotee of Lord Shiva, he had a drum in his hand and he was chanting. He was playing the drum and chanting Lord Shiva's name. And Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, became so happy that he became ecstatic. He entered like the mood of Lord Shiva and he jumped on the shoulders of this devotee and started to dance along with him, chanting the names of Lord Shiva. So Shiva means all auspicious. So he, of course, sometimes, because he controls the mode of ignorance, sometimes very fallen living entities like ghosts and, you know, other kind of living entities take shelter on Lord Shiva. But he himself is not in the mode of darkness. He is completely a transcendental personality, being a pure devotee of the Lord. But he helps them to get a human body, you know. He tried to help them to get a human body so they can progress in their Krishna consciousness gradually. So I'm going to stop here if anybody has any comments or question. So we'll have a little time for that. Yes, Prabhu. Harihara, yeah, both combined, yes. Yes. Yes, there is some story behind this. I can't remember exactly all the details, but that, actually, I forgot to mention something very important. Thank you for asking. Actually, sometimes, even in the Shastra, it is said that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this statement is not incorrect. Why? Because when it is said like that, it refers to Sadashiva. Sadashiva is actually Lord Shiva before entering the material world. And that's Vishnu Tattva. That is not Shiva Tattva. And he has his own planet. When we say Shiva Loka, it's not within this material universe. It's beyond the material. It's a Vaikuntha planet. And Shiva there is Vishnu Tattva, Sadashiva. I mean, Sadashiva is expanded from Mahasankarshan. And from that expansion of Sadashiva, it is said that Mahavishnu and Sadashiva combined and they appeared as Advaitacharya. So that Sadashiva is Vishnu Tattva. So when this form of Harihara combined, that's actually, both are Lord Vishnu. Because this is Sadashiva and, you know, and Lord Vishnu combined and they appear in that form. Yes.
Is there no difference at all whatsoever? Because just a couple of days ago,
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly on the same level of, on the same topmost level as the Vaikuntha planet. It's beneath all of them. But it's an eternal planet, that's for sure. So, pure devotees of Lord Shiva, they may go there. I mean, who knows that he's a, you know, if they know the truth about Lord Shiva, and they worship him as the Supreme Lord, but knowing that he's there, you know, beyond this material universe. But the Shiva within this material world, he's not Vishnu Tattva, he's Shiva Tattva. He's a pure devotee of Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
In Vaikuntha? Do you have to go down to the material world to qualify to enter in Goloka?
I mean, we have to understand something very important. Once you go there, it's for that's eternal. I mean, anything is possible in the spiritual life. Prabhupada said anything is possible. But generally speaking, in the spiritual world, everybody is satisfied with the service they have for the Supreme Lord, either in Shivaloka or Vaikuntha or wherever. They're fully satisfied with that service. That's their Siddha Swarup. That's their eternal form for the Lord. And they're satisfied with that. That's an eternal life. I mean, when you speak about eternal life, that's the greatest achievement. So that depends on the rasa in which place one person goes. Doesn't depend on, from the marginal position, we can discuss, yes, of course, Vaikuntha and Goloka is higher, of course. We know that from the Shastra. But when somebody in one of those planets is satisfied to have eternal life and serving the Lord and any rasa he has with the Lord. So the question doesn't arise for them, you know. Yes.
So what is the purpose of Lord Shiva? For instance, we know that he's like the leader of the ghosts and hobgoblins. And
yeah.
So does Lord Shiva actually elevate those souls? I mean, those individuals, living entities?
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And if he does, how does he do that? I mean, because I don't think I've read where he actually has a system for them.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a regulated program where they can, you know.
No. The program Lord Shiva has for them is that he helps them to get a human body. It is said in the story of Kashyapa Muni and Diti, you know, when Hiranyaksha and Kashyapu were born, he told his wife, "This is not the proper time to procreate a child, because at this time Lord Shiva passes with all his ghosts, and if sees somebody engaging in sex life at this time, he may send one of those ghosts to get, you know, a human body. So better not to do it at this time," he said. But we know what happened. But the point is that Lord Shiva does help those living entities when he sees a chance to let them born as a human in a human form, so they will get a chance to, in human body, you know, to become.
So are you
Krishna
implying
Kansa?
That all of us here in this room probably took birth because of Lord Shiva?
Maybe, I don't know.
Just question.
Those of us who were ghosts, maybe.
Because it seems like that's what Kali Yuga is all about.
Yeah, most probably. Yeah,
there's no one that's really practicing any samskaras.
Definitely must be many cases like that.
So
for
then,
sure.
our real father, then, in some circumstances, Lord Shiva.
Yeah. Another service that Lord Shiva performed is that by Krishna's will, he destroys the universe. That's a very important service he has. And
does he destroy his devotees also then? In other words, if he's destroyer, as you're saying, which is I agree, does that mean that he's actually even destroying his loyal followers? He's annihilating them?
That means everything is annihilated there. Of course, the external form, the material form, the actual person is never, the soul never dies. So. Those souls who were not liberated, they just enter the body of Mahavishnu and wait until the next creation. Some pseudo-devotees of Lord Shiva, they want to imitate Lord Shiva by smoking ganja. You know that? Marijuana. They're arguing that Lord Shiva do it. But the fact is, from Shastra we know that Shiva, he does it only one time in all the creation. And that's the day when he's going to destroy all the universe. Only that day he smoked marijuana. To destroy everything, you know, to enter that mood of destruction, you know. Destroy everything. The challenge to them is that first you take poison and survive, then you can imitate Shiva's smoking. The same thing with the pseudo devotees of Krishna. First lift the Govardhan hill before dancing in with the gopis, you know, the young girls.
Before you smoke the ganja and make Lord Shiva your example, please drink an ocean of poison first.
At least a handful.
At least a handful.
See if you survive.
And survive.
And the thing is, he was able to keep it in his throat even without swallowing it. Who can do that? No one can do that. So great Ishvara can't be imitated. Can be followed. Their advice, their instructions, but their activities can't be imitated, you know, because they are great controllers. Yes, Prabhupada. Okay. All right. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi. Hare.